Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast, joined by Jackson and Aiden once again. What's going on, guys?
Not bad. Not a good round of basketball, if you ask me. But yeah.
Another hectic week in the NBL.
Yes.
Very tired from myself personally. Finished uni. Called another game on Clutch Radio, which was great.
I didn't get to hear that one. How'd you go with the second stint?
I felt a whole lot more comfortable the second time round. Maybe because it was a three-person call rather than just a two-man thing. But I felt a whole lot better.
Maybe a regular. Maybe leaving us soon, Jackson.
Well, that's what they said to me. I talked to them after saying, hey, who knows if I'll see you again. But then they said, oh, it'll be pretty likely that you'll be back on. So
there you go. Regular on the radio. So definitely tune in.
Angels would say, am I ever going to see your face again? And
yeah, definitely tune into Clutch Radio for the Melbourne games this year. Hear Jackson's beautiful voice again, rather than this.
Hear my special comments.
Look, I'm sorry, Jackson, but we're going to have to talk about Perth once again. I'm sorry. It is the talk of the town, and I guess that's what everyone expects us to talk about. I mean, they're in more strife than they were last week and the week before. They just keep getting worst losses. Is that even a thing? I don't even know. But a loss to Brisbane on the weekend, a game that everyone thought, oh, they must win that one. And they were atrocious. That was definitely their worst game this year. Jackson, come on. What do you got? What do you got for me?
I've lost hope. I don't have much to say other than it is what it is. And I'm starting to think of other options of who I support in this league. No, but in all seriousness, it is probably, I mean, we said this last year when Perth went on a 0-5 run near the start of the season, but like, it's starting to, like, is John really the right guy? Do they have the right imports? We ask these questions every single week, and like, it's just so stupid what's going on there. Like, they're not playing defense. They don't have a functioning offense. They can't rebound the ball. They're not looking like a basketball team right now. Bryce Cotton is having a career low in the NBL. And, I mean, they're not even involving him in the offense that much, which is the crazy thing when they actually run something. And,
well, can I quickly
and they're
end?
Just not doing anything that is good enough. Like, I didn't watch the first three quarters because I was out. I mean, I went back and watched the entire game. But watching it live, I watched the final quarter. When I arrived, Perth were like 1 of 18 from the three-point line. And then Keanu Pinder, out of all people, hit 2 3-pointers in a row. And when you're relying on Keanu Pinder being your sharpshooter, I don't know what you're doing. And, like, it's just a mess. Like, from ownership down, it's a mess.
I mean, I'll say my thoughts. I think it's obviously easy at the moment to go ahead and blame the coach. I mean, it's the obvious thing you always do. When a team's losing, first thing you do in an organization is to blame the coach. You must think, oh, you got all these great players. You love the players. So what's going wrong? It must be the coach. He's running bad plays. He's making bad subs, etc. But I mean, I think what, especially Wildcats fans, they especially haven't talked about the poor performance of the players. Like, there is no one, not one single player that is playing good for them the last couple of weeks. Like,
I can argue Keanu Pinder, but that's the only
one. I'm going
to
say, you can argue Keanu Pinder, but only on the offensive end. If you watch that game against Brisbane, especially in that fourth quarter defensively, he was horrid in the post. He was getting dominated by Terrell Harrison, and that's no slow on Harrison. I thought he was terrific that game for Brisbane, especially in that fourth. With no bans, he's been pretty good, Harrison, coming back from a few injuries he's had. But, you know, when you're a marquee player, Keanu Pinder, like, you expect, when really is heavily relying on him as a defender, and he's giving you absolutely donuts on that end, it's, you know, struggle town from there. And I mean, people can say, oh, they're not running enough plays for Cotton. That is a bit of a silly argument, I feel like. I mean, I hate to use stats here, but he did shoot, what was it, 3 of 19. 3 of 19 that game. So you can argue, oh, he's not running enough plays. It's not the Bryce Cotton.
I'm arguing that he's not running the same plays that made him be so successful for so many years under Gleason.
Yeah, no, like, but when there's when you watch his shots, the 19 shots though he's taken, they're not bad shots. They're not like last second of the shot clock type of shots. He's the last game as well. I can't remember when he shot, but 3 of 19 that last game against Brisbane. I mean, you can argue he's not running plays, but he's just can't get the bucket in the hoop at the moment, and that's one of the many reasons why they're failing. But other than pinned on the offensive end, that game against Brisbane and that game against Adelaide, they've had really no one step up. Usher was starting off well, 31 points in the first game against Tassie. Now he's dropped off. And I know I still have belief in this team. Like, honestly, if I was Perth, I wouldn't sack really right now. Like, we're 7 games in. I know he's probably the worst coach in the league, and this team's not going to win you a championship, but you can still turn things around and be a final contender with this squad. I still believe it, but he will need to change a lot of things, quite a lot of things. And it is early in the season, but then again, you look, it's already Perth played 7 games, which is a quarter of their season already. So you can say it's early in the season, but still, they need to turn things around ASAP, otherwise it's got to be a catch up for the rest of the year. Aiden, what do you reckon of Perth?
It should have been Brisbane. Like, I reckon with the Brisbane's outs, Perth should have taken advantage. But
yeah, they're missing Scott and Baines, 2 starters,
and they were at home as well.
Yep,
I feel like that was one of the games that if they missed the finals by 1 game, they'll look at this one. Too little needs to do a little more for me. I'm not like points production. Like, I know points is everything, but when you've got him and Usher both scoring 4 against Brisbane, that's not a good sign. They've got Sedo Baines. I mean, like, Harrison did well against Perth, but they don't have any avenues to scoring. If Bryce is not going, then I don't know who's scoring. Because like, Corey only scored 11, Hino only scored, was a high score of 22, but you don't have any avenues to score.
I mean, that's my worry. You mentioning that takes me back to the time when Perth were actually winning, when they were a championship squad. When Cotton wasn't having a good night, it would become unnoticeable because you had Tarico White step up. Those 2 seasons they were playing, they won the back-back. Tarico White stepped up, and he was a guy that ended up scoring 20 points in that game.
Clint Steindl off the bench, hitting shots, and those guys.
So Cotton's performance became like, oh, he had like 10 or 13 points, you know. But you look at Tarico White, he had like 23, and you think, oh, that's right, the Perth Wildcats won because of Tarico White, Cotton's, so what, it's 1 game. But because Cotton doesn't have that right-hand man, people thought it'd be Usher. He had that first game to start the year.
Blitz.
That hasn't happened. And look, for me, I think they need a whole reshuffle of their imports. They're not Cotton, obviously, but they're putting way too much pressure on him, and they just haven't built around Cotton and Pinder right. Like, Ty Webster does not fit in this team at all. Mind you, he's an elite player. There's no doubt about it. Like, he has played at EuroLeague for multiple years and the likes, but they're missing it. This is what I said. You know, everyone disagreed. Everyone had a go at me for having them 6, which is better than where they are at the moment. But I said they'll miss Mitch Norton and Todd Blanchfield by this time of the season. And as much as Wildcats fans probably hate to admit it, I'm sure you can agree, Jackson, but they're missing a Mitch Norton right now. And you can tell in that Brisbane game, Mitch Norton was one of the key factors in Brisbane winning that. So, I'll get to Mitch Norton in a few minutes later about Brisbane's success, but I don't know if you agree, Jackson, but I think they're missing that Damian Martin, Mitch Norton, defensive playmaking guard next to Cotton. They don't have that. They don't have that kind of Brandt kind of guy at center with Nick Cade. They don't have that. It's just Pinder by himself. They're missing that, you know, that formula that they were winning championships a few years ago. I don't know if you agree with that, Jackson, but.
Yeah, I do. Like, the Perth Wildcats for a decade was built off this really, really strong defensive-minded playmaking point guard next to this elite scoring shooting guard. And this goes way before Bryce was ever there. You look at 2010 when they had Damo and Lish.
Mm.
You look at 2013-14 when they had Damo and Jermaine Beal. Mm-hmm. You look past that, and then you get to Bryce with Damo, but then Damo retires, and then there's a little transition period with Norton, and it worked really well for the one
mm-hmm.
year. Gleason was there after Damian Martin retired when they made the finals. And Norton was DPOY candidate that year as well.
Yep.
And they just don't have that. And also, another key thing is that throughout that entire period, there's always been a really good small forward next to those guys. And
mm-hmm.
and Usher, I mean, we saw 35 points opening night, and that was incredible. But, like, he's done absolutely nothing since.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a 20-point game, but, like, a couple of those points was from free-throw line.
And it's those games against Brisbane. It's when you can't have – you never saw Cotton and Tariqa White both have bad games. It was either if one of them's having a bad game, one is dropping 25. And that is not happening at the moment, and that's why they're not winning. I'm going to suggest this starting five for you. If I was Perth, if they lose the next two games, I'm making these changes. I'm obviously getting rid of Rilly as head coach. I just don't think he's up to it. Who they hire, that is why I'm not GM. I have no clue who they can hire. Obviously, everyone's got to shout Gleason. But like when you try and find someone at the moment that is available and can turn it around, it is more difficult than firing a coach. But I'd get rid of Rilly. Don't know who you can find. But I'd also change to this starting five. I'm getting rid of both Usher and Doolittle. I'm getting rid of both of them. I don't know if that's happened before where two imports have been sacked in 1 year, but I'm getting rid of Usher and Doolittle, throwing Ty Webster on the bench, maybe not even giving him any minutes, but I'm getting an import point guard next to Cotton, a Shannon Scott type of player, obviously a Damian Martin, a Mitch Norton, that type of a defensive playmaking point guard next to Cotton. I'm starting Ben Henschel. How can this kid drop 21 points in his first game and get 24 minutes from now on? How is he supposed to develop on an NBL court? Everyone's seen he's capable of doing it, and he can say, oh, Usher had 31 in that first game, but Hench was 18. If he's capable of dropping 24 points in an NBL game, give the kid more minutes. Why are you giving him 0 minutes? I'm starting Hench at that three, starting Pinder still, and I'm getting rid of Doolittle 4 or 5, like a Tyler Cook type of importer, Alan Williams. That's my starting five. That's how you fix a team. Probably won't work, but that's just my suggestion.
Can I make a suggestion of what they should do with their current roster?
Yeah.
Okay, you start Bryce with Corey Webster, Hyrum Harris at the three with Doolittle and Pinder. That's what works well. That's the lineup that works really well, and they haven't done it since game one.
Mm.
That's what won them that first game against Tassie, and they haven't done it since.
Mm.
Like, I don't know why Hyrum Harris doesn't get the minutes he should. He should be a 20-minute guy. Just the hustle and rebounding and defense that he brings.
Why aren't these young guys getting minutes too? And Saar, it's like he was a projected – some people saying he's going to be the first pick. He's looked nothing like that in the last few games. And I don't know if
I was about to ask that. What's happened to his half?
Like, yeah, I don't know if that's on him or – on really, but when you're missing, as I said, you miss that type of Brandt and K combination they've had. Miles Plumlee you can throw in there. They don't have that. It's just Pinder by himself. And I thought maybe Perth will be good enough with Saar there, but I it's like they're not giving him. It's like they're not giving him minutes either. It's like he's giving no minutes to, like he's giving 13 minutes to to Michael Harris, who hasn't done anything. But anyway, let's finish about Perth and let's talk about them again next week when they lose to who do they play next week? Who do Perth play next week?
They play Adelaide at home and then Melbourne on Monday night.
So they'll lose both of those, probably.
Yeah.
And we'll see where we are from there. But it is not good in Perth. There are my suggestions. There's Jackson's suggestions. And what are your suggestions quickly?
Put Sol on wall. Talk to Sol. Something's gone wrong with him, I reckon.
Melbourne United. They are well and truly running away with this competition at the moment. 8-1. The start of the year. Was it 7-1 or 8-1? Oh, better. 8-1. 8-1. I know I was right. 8-1. And wild stat that I looked today, they do not move outside of Melbourne until the 31st of December where they play Cairns. They play
two away
games, which are against the Phoenix, both at John Cane. So they don't play outside John Cane Arena from when did they play Illawarra? From last Friday night, Thursday night. When was it? When did they play Illawarra? Well, they played on Sunday. When was their last away game? Oh, Jack Jumpers. Sorry, Jack Jumpers on the Friday.
It was Friday night, yeah.
So 27th of October to the 31st of December, they don't need to move outside of Melbourne, which is absolutely wild to me. And with them starting 8-1, Deli and Clark expected to be back next week as well. They are just clearly
don't
the favourites
worry, guys,
at the moment.
Everyone will make a graphic about this.
Can I get the dates from when they aren't playing in Melbourne when the Australian Open's on? Because how
I'll
long
get
that. Is that?
You talk about United's performance while I get that up, because I should have that up.
Well, there Sunday. You can talk about it.
Yeah, so I was there Sunday, and it was a whole lot of closer game than the final score says it was. Illawarra was right in the game, and they were leading for at least half of it until like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and United pulled away. And it was a really, really interesting game because Illawarra was out-rebounded by 20, I think more than 20 rebounds. But for some reason, it didn't feel like it because they just kept hitting shot after shot after shot and they didn't need to rebound like at all. But United's big three of Hakpori, JLA and Travers had almost 30 rebounds, or maybe even 30 rebounds combined. And they beat Illawarra in the rebound count by themselves, those three guys. And like Justin Robertson had 20 and 9, but Golding's 33 points, which he hasn't hit since like a decade, was extraordinary to watch. And he really carried United at times when Illawarra was starting to get going.
Yeah, and this is the thing with comparison with United and Perth. I hate to bring up Perth again, but missing Deli and Clark, two of your best backcourt. I'm sorry, Jackson.
This is just getting abusive right now. Do you want me to leave?
No. But you look at Perth. You look at Melbourne, and they were missing Deli and Clark. Goulding obviously needed to step up. They were limited on that guard rotation that game, and Goulding stepped up. He knew when to do it. You look at Perth, and I had to mention it again, but when one guy's down, well, Con's having a bad game, there's no one else stepping up. And this is why United are the best team in the competition right now, because they've got so many guys. If one guy's down or two guys down in that same position, there's someone willing to step up and always perform. And, you just look at Hakpori. Like, JLA was out first few games of the season, Hakpori stepped up throughout the whole way. Tanner Krebs, I thought, was sensational without Clark as well, playing in his position. So, look, that's the thing with United at the moment. They're just so deep. They've got so many guys that can step up when others are down. And, as I said, their record, 8-1, no away games till the 31st of December. They'll go into that road trip.
Basically, if you think about it.
Yeah, their road trip is all of January. They don't play a home game. But they'll probably be, how many games do they play in till the 31st? At least 6, you'd think. So they'll probably be like 13-2 at the minimum, I reckon.
Never say never.
by the time they hit that road trip, and they'll be full of positive vibes, they'll be on a win streak, and if they stay healthy, they'll go into the away game, away trip whole January thinking they can win everyone, and rightly so. So,
well, they haven't done a statement like Chocolate did and said they're going to be undefeated. So that's that's a relief in they're not having targets on their back.
Yeah, but they're going to be hard to catch up. What are your thoughts on Melbourne United then? Are they?
This is a depth. Like, I was wondering if Godden would step up to the occasion and deliver when Clark got, you know, was ruled out in that Illawarra game. And you know what he did? He stepped up when he needed to. I was like, it's the game that he either makes United look really good or, you know, they have finally been found out with the injuries. But he stepped up. I think Harker probably will go back to the bench. I don't think he'll remain starting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how soon. But
I don't know. It depends on the lineup, I guess, who they play.
Hmm.
But I think you can. It's an interchanging like five. But I think Dele should be back Monday coming up. So Clark.
Yeah, he said he would. He said he would on the interview after the game. He said he would be back. So, if they stay fully healthy throughout that whole away home period until 31st of December, yeah, good luck beating them. They're going to be tough. Other than Phoenix, I think Phoenix are probably the only team, and
match up well.
Yeah, at the moment. I mean, Tassie did beat them a few weeks ago, but Melbourne just...
I think Sydney, when healthy, could beat them.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they can. Do they even play Sydney?
No, we were talking about this last week, I think, when they haven't played Sydney since...
They don't play until January, don't they?
Something like that.
Yeah, so...
So we can't really tell what...
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be able to beat...
To be fair, he's only went up by a bit a while, the last game they played him.
Yeah.
I think there'll be teams that could be close for
doubt there'll be close teams, but it'll just be like every game they go into, they're going to be favorites. So they're just so deep.
Don't think they're going to blow out teams significantly.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're going in as favorites every time. And
no, I agree with that. No, 100%.
Yeah. Brisbane Bullets. They went 2-0 on the weekend, didn't they? So great weekend from them. They are now the same record
they beat
as
Perth again. Like,
yeah, and they beat Tassie to now have the same record as them, 4-4. That was a great game from them against Tassie without Shannon, without this point guard and Shannon Scott and Baines. They look great, and it's thanks to one man. I made a post about him. Normally, these sort of players don't get enough love. Enough love, I feel like, you know, like enough, and that's Nathan Sobey. I don't feel like people are rating him as high as he should be because he has been absolutely elite at the moment, 21.8 points per game. I asked if he is in his prime at 33 years old. Is he playing prime basketball? I don't know if you guys agree, but what do you think of Nathan Sobey recently?
Mr. Nathan Sobey, Mr. Olympic player Nathan Sobey is coming out. In my opinion, he's playing like that level. Not saying that he'll make the team, but he's playing the level like he wants to prove that he can be on that team.
At least in that training camp.
Yeah, at least in that training camp initially. But I'm gonna bring up another guy that's made a difference for them. I'm not bringing Toby. But Josh Bennett, I'll give him a pass last week against
Phoenix. He's been great.
But he's been great ever since, like 15-6 against Perth, a double-double against the Tassie, and he's just playing well.
Well, people were saying this about him. He's got to be a huge, big-time prospect. And look, I heard a great comparison. I don't know. I don't think he'll be an NBA player. But I heard a great comparison. I don't know who said it on Twitter. But they say he's like the next Nick Kay. And I can so see that.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
I can see Josh Bannon being the future Nick Kay. I don't think he'll ever get to... He may play a couple of summer leagues, but I don't think he'll be an NBA-level player. Mainly because of his game, but he'll be an elite international player.
I feel like he's a mix between Nick Kay and Jack White. It's like
he's prime
some aspects.
His ceiling for me is a EuroLeague player. I think he's capable of doing that. I know Nick Kay's never really played EuroLeague, but being that star, like being in some Boomers teams, being that 12th man, you know, the only guy that's not on only player that's not on the Boomers roster, not in the NBA. I think he's capable of being that in the future and just being an absolute veteran at international basketball.
And he's only 22.
Yeah. But Jackson, what do you think about the Bullets roster, Nathan Sobey specifically?
Look, Sobey's been great. He won't make a Boomers team again just due to how stacked that guard rotation is.
Mm.
But he's been really, really good. He's been MVP form. I'm not saying MVP flat out because, you know, there's still a couple guys floating around who are, we don't really have a favorite yet for it, but like he's in that group.
Top five in the league. Sure.
But in terms of Brisbane, Sam McDaniel has been probably the best defensive player this season so far.
I like that. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
He's been great.
Galloway,
he surprised me.
But like in terms of just raw defense and not going off stats at all and just the eye test, he's probably been the best defender in the league by far. And like when you, we were talking about Bryce's shooting slumps and whatever, but he still restricted him to not much. And he's done a really good job this season, like coming off the bench. And then he started against Tassie, which I found a bit weird, but he's really filled that, you know, what Justin Truller wanted alongside Mitch Norton in terms of that defensive identity that Brisbane have been lacking for so many years ever since they've re-entered the competition.
Well, look, I hate to use stats here to determine how good a defensive player is, but Cotton Wilson and his performance, when it was 10 points, what was it, 10 or 11 points, 3 of 18. People did not mention Milton Doyle, 7 points against Brisbane. Jordan Crawford, 16. But you expect one of those two guys to at least get 20. But McDaniel was, that just shows his defensive abilities. You know, he's able to shut down the best players in the league. And he deserved that starting spot because they started him over Chris Smith. And that was a great decision by Justin Schuler. He's a fantastic coach, just quietly, Justin Schuler. But that five of Norton, Sobey, McDaniel, Bannon, and Harrison. I hope they run that five for the rest of the year. I think that is a perfect five. Maybe Shannon Scott over Norton, but I think Harrison better suited in that five over Baines. I think McDaniel starts over Chris Smith, and Bannon should start for the rest of the year too. I think that five just works a treat, and you saw against that game at Tassie. Sorry, is that what you got to say, Aiden?
I was going to say Tyrell should start with Bainesy.
Yeah,
going forward, I think Aaron would be great.
Just works in the system more.
Yeah, but will Baines want that?
I don't know. He could buy into it. But I don't know.
We don't want him pushing Schuler into the wall. But
that's a bit too soon again.
Sorry.
But Tyrell had 12 points in five rebounds in 14 minutes. Like, I know he had foul issues, but he got them back in the game.
He was huge in that fourth quarter against Perth. I was watching that, and he was playing like prime Shaq. He was just, maybe that's a bit too far, but
took anyone that they're for him.
No, he was just sidestepping Pinder and making Sarr and Pinder look like cones on the defensive end. And
it's good to see him very healthy.
Quarter. And so good to see him. Yeah, it's good to see him playing so well.
And is it not a Kiwi that could be in a tour bus squad? Like, he's only 24.
Yeah, and he's people forget he's 7'1". He's very tall. Like, he's some people think, oh, these guys are like 7 foot. They end up being like 16 or something. But Harrison is like, well, now the second tallest in the league behind his teammate Rocco. So, I really like Harrison. He's been good this year. Just hope he stays healthy.
In NBL.
Yeah, I just hope he stays healthy. That's the thing.
Six seasons in NBL,
he's a bit of a Ruben Tarangi, isn't he? Like, just being a development player for so long, yet you know, still like a young vet.
Yeah, he was in his league in what, 2016. 2017.
Sorry, before we move on, I can't believe I didn't say this at the start, but the reason Nathan Sobey has been absolutely balling, they got a point guard. They got two point guards, Shannon Scott and Mitch Norton. And you look at this and you think, why the heck didn't Brisbane do this 5 years ago when they signed Nathan Sobey? They tried to experiment with, who's their point guard before Tyler Johnson? Who? It was Sobey, but the shooting guard. Who was it? It was like Isaiah Moss and Devondrick Walker. It's
then they had a Kate as well, didn't he?
Like, how has it taken this organization 5 years to realize that if you put a point guard, let alone two great defensive playmaking point guards, which is what Perth should be doing at the moment. I'm sorry to mention them again, Jackson. But if Brisbane did this 5 years ago, we may have seen a finals performance from them already. And Nathan Sobey may be still in a boomer
this
squad.
This reminds me of the like, Vic Law Sobey. That MVP year he was with Vic Law. Like, that's the Sobey we're getting right now.
Yeah, and it's just like we're screaming at this organization to do it for years. They finally do it, and now Sobey is a top five player in the league. So I'm glad.
They're not going away from it next season. That's all we're going to say.
I'm glad that Brisbane have done this, and it's awesome seeing Sobey play like this as well, because he is elite. He's always been elite, but it's just been not having someone next to him. And they've finally done it, and I'm so happy they have. I've been screaming about it for years. Zylan Cheatham and the Breakers, such a tough injury to see Cheatham. He's been the best player for the Breakers. Maybe not you can argue Jackson Cartwright, but their most important player for sure for the Breakers this season. I mean,
Our favorite player.
We wanted him for years, and sucks to see him. I thought he was his ACL when I was watching it. I thought he did his ACL, but thankfully...
I thought he did his Achilles, off-ball nature of it.
Yeah, but only a foot injury, so 6 to 8 weeks. But away injuries have gone this year. Hopefully that is only 4 or 5 weeks. He comes back into the team. But it's that game against the Phoenix. Like, they are not the Phoenix. Who the game there? Adelaide. They were playing so well against Adelaide. Top. And then by the time Cheatham got injured, it's like that whole team just deflated and they just ran out of energy and they ended up losing that game to Adelaide, who I thought are playing so much. Might not quickly add, they are playing so much better with that five at the moment. But Breakers at bottom of the ladder. It's crazy to think because they have such an elite talented squad, but... and obviously, Mona Mayor is a fantastic coach. They've got good pieces. But, that game against Phoenix, you're at that one, Aiden. What did you make of the Breakers? They were down by 26 at one stage, I believe, and they did come back. But it's not...
I don't know if it's comeback of, like, Breakers being Breakers. I just feel like, you know, being that up by that much, it's, you know, hard to keep that lead.
Yeah.
Pushing it, like, it's... You know.
But to go down by 26 points, what's been going on with the Breakers?
I don't know if they've got a perfect rotation going. I just think they don't know who to start and who to play. Like, Finn Delaney's not in the right role sometimes. Evie Lamb has a good game one game against Adelaide and then not the best against Phoenix. The guards, I think, are fine. I think it's the other role players around it that don't know what their role actually is. I could be wrong. I could be really wrong, but I don't think there's any role clarity with the forwards and the wings and the bigs. Like Mango, Dane got a lot of burn time this weekend, given Zion's out as well, but I don't know. I don't think they've got the on-court leader that we all think they should. Like, Will and Tom are great leaders, but I don't know.
Yeah, McDowell White, I mean, people haven't really mentioned him, but he hasn't been all too good to start the year, and I don't know if that's him pairing up with Cartwright. But, like, this is not what we saw of him last season. We thought he would develop into, like a genuine, like, one of the best point guards, if not the best point guard in the league. But we have not seen that at all.
But he's playing with Bryce, you know, helping Bryce out.
I don't know if that's still that wrist injury, but it's just not – it's weird how it's not working at the moment. I think it's also – I still laugh how they – Mango Mathiang better than Derek Parton. Mathiang is just like...
He's a good bench player. He's not a good start.
They're relying on him as center and they are struggling with rebounds a lot. And he is just... It's just laughable to kind of like... When you think back that he's better than Parton, he is just nowhere near what Parton brought. And
Mango 5 years ago might have been better than Parton. 5 years ago.
But if they bring that import to replace Cheatham, they have to go with a five.
That's what they said they were going to do, I think.
Yeah. Jackson, what do you think of the Breakers?
the injury of Cheetah may be a blessing in disguise, and I'm saying that because Finn Delaney has been coming off the bench. Like, why is he coming off the bench in that team?
The way Zylan was playing against Adelaide,
I know.
I reckon you could have started Zylan with a five. Like, he can. The man jumps and gets those boards that I don't think he should get, which made me nearly regret the Supercoach trading, but that's another topic.
Against some teams, yes, but against others, no. You look at United and every single team they play, they get monster. And, yeah.
And I mean, like, he was jumping over people's heads as well.
What they really might need in this short term is to go out and get like a true center, import, really good import center. That's, you know, I mean, Tyler Cook still hasn't been signed anywhere to my knowledge, and I'm not sure if he's in Australia or New Zealand at the moment, but that might be an option. But they really need to figure out what they're doing with their rotations, because Liafa isn't getting a whole lot of playing time, and like, there's a few guys on that team that should be playing a whole lot more than they are.
Well, I'll give you mega stats. He got 0 points, 0 assists, and 1 rebound in 10 minutes and had like 4 fouls. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I need to say.
There's a good Kiwi that's valuable. That would be nice at the Breakers. Rob Lowe. You'd really fit in that. Oh, wait. They got rid of it. They got rid of him for Mango, Matthew, and Pinu. It's like,
they didn't get rid of him. He retired.
I think he didn't want to bring him back. Like, I think he obviously wanted to keep playing, but...
Well, the way he was playing in NBL, it seems like he wanted to keep playing. And
yeah, it was obvious he's... And you saw with him playing Melbourne United, like, he was unreal. And he's way better than Mango Mathiang. And I would get rid of Mango or Pinu and sign Rob Lowe immediately, bring him back, repair that relationship.
He's
way better than both of them.
As an injury replacement before I think Rob Lowe was signed. Like, why didn't they sign Rob Lowe as their nominal replacement?
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird why Rob Lowe didn't go back to the Breakers, because he's so much better.
We always assume that Jessup has left New Zealand completely and is back in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
I was going to say, I didn't see him on the bench.
Are New Zealand struggling as much as Perth right now?
I can't tell. It's too easy. No. Like, they've been in most of their games. Like, I know the Phoenix game, they technically weren't in till the end, but...
I was going to say that game against United last week, that was the best game this season, and they competed really well against the best team in the league. So I don't think they haven't looked as bad as Perth, despite that kind of 26-point loss to the Phoenix, but they need to figure out rotations. They've got a lot of pieces. It's just a matter of getting them together.
The thing with New Zealand is that it's the curse of the NBL-NBA games, right? Like, name the last team that went over there and did something good with their season.
Melbourne United won the championship when they lost to the Thunder.
Right, and how long ago was that?
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, so that's the only real example of that happening. Oh, wait, did Perth win the championship?
Yeah, and they also won the championship that year.
Right.
But,
like, in terms of recent years... Like, yeah,
well, we missed 2 years
had
COVID.
2 years
before that.
We missed 2 years because of COVID. What about Cairns? Cairns playing pretty good at the moment. 3-2. They beat Sydney Kings without some of their starters. So
they lost to Illawarra thanks to a Tyler Harvey Hail Mary.
But I want to talk about that game quickly. Illawarra played really well. I feel like we
and against United, that first half against United was one of their best halves this season, I thought, watching. But
oh, I'm still not sold.
I don't know.
I'm not selling what Jacob's putting out there yet. It's the minutes how Campbell Blogg got minutes before AJ Johnson. I don't.
Saw that on commentary, I was so surprised.
Campbell Blogg
getting minutes.
AJ Johnson.
I was at work, and then I see your message. I'm like, what am I reading?
Why am I watching this? Hot take of the week. I'll start off with my terrible one and we'll build our way up, but it's not a hot take, really. I'm just going with Melbourne United are already the minor champions. No contest at all. They've already got it. They're all finished first, no matter what.
Yeah, that's brutal. I will... No, I don't.
You going, so... Aiden, or
no,
me?
You go first.
Okay, right. Cast your mind back to last year. Perth were in a very similar situation. They were going to play Adelaide, and I said the hot take of the week was Brady Manick will drop 30, and he got close. He got like 25. So this
he's
week,
dropping 30.
Jordan Usher, let's go. Baby.
Oh, I was gonna say you said Doolittle. I would have been like, that's a great hot take, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Would have liked
Doolittle
a tie
not
web,
a
so
scorer,
that would
though. Brady Manick was a scorer. Usher is a guy that can put the ball in the hoop.
I would have liked you saying Ty Webster dropped 30. That would be...
Do you want me to change it to Ty Webster?
If you want.
Right, let's go both of them to get 20-plus then.
All right, now we're... Okay.
Now we're talking. Now we've got 16.
Aiden, save this.
Mine was boring. I was going to say Harrison will start over Baines, but that's not really a hot take.
That's it.
I don't really have a hot take. It's boring week.
This is the worst hot take week of the season, Lance. And that's on me as well.
But Evan, like you said, Brisbane would be last without Baines. They've done what? They've proven you wrong.
They have proven me wrong. 2-0 on the weekend. And that's because Perth are terrible. I'm sorry. That's the 10th time I mentioned it today, Jackson.
Put the gun to my head already, Evan. Make this stop.
Five rapid questions. Oh, I'll keep going on next week if they go 0-2. Five rapid questions. Here we go. Should New Zealand sign Tyler Cook?
Yes.
No. I'll explain why later.
Is Klintman a better prospect than Alex Starr at the moment?
At the moment, yes.
No.
Is Tyler Harvey the most clutch player in the league?
Okay, no. I've still got Bryce.
No. Illawarra aren't winning games a lot. Just no.
This goes off. Whatever. Is Bullquall the best defensive player in the league?
No.
Yeah, I'll go yeah for now.
Who's the one that said McDaniel was the best? Was it you, Jackson?
It was me, yeah.
Here's a good one. Does Chris Goulding still have a chance to play in the NBA as the second oldest rookie in NBA history?
Who's the oldest rookie? I want...
Pablo... Prioni, the Argentina guy that played for the Knicks at 36 years old.
Yeah.
So Chris Goulding, could he? I'm just saying, some NBA teams at the end of the year that make playoffs could deal with a little veteran chat.
Could he be
the
Alex Dali or the NBA? No. No.
Is that too hard of a question? Okay. No,
it's a good question. It's surprisingly a good question, but I'm saying no.
He need to put up some Andrew Gaze numbers. To get a spot,
he's
gonna
be shooting like 12 from 15 each
week. I just want him to see like him to be like a 35-year-old NBA rookie. That's just all I want to see because I know he's more than capable of playing the NBA.
Signed a rookie.
It'd be cool if he was. Josh Giddey brings him down for 10 days at the Thunder at the end of the season.
Josh Giddey brings him down. Jeez.
Prepare for the Olympics. I don't know.
Prepare for the Olympics. Not bad for me.
We don't think Cooling makes the squad still. That you still think they kick him out? He's been playing too good.
I think
it's
DJ's
to say no.
The guy now. They need to get that mold into the future.
Well, it's hard to say when Goulding drops 33 points on the weekend, you know?
Yeah, but he didn't even play at the World Cup when he was on the roster, so...
Oh, so you're saying it's more of a Brian Gorgie thing, yeah.
Anyway, here we go.
My question is for you, Evan. Is Alex Starling the worst rookie we've ever had?
The what? The worst rookie?
Well, this year, this season, it's the worst rookie.
The worst next star or rookie?
Alex Starling, not Star, Starling.
Oh, Starling, Alex Starling. Oh, I thought you said rookie. Alex Saar. I'm like, are you absolutely out of your mind? No. Alex Starling, he will probably get the sack when they get an import Adelaide. So, yeah, like, again, it's still questionable why they signed him over Daniel Johnson. But anyway, Brisbane Phoenix on the first day. Who you got?
It's not biased. This is Phoenix because Baines is back. I don't think they're going to have the chemistry.
Phoenix. Alan Williams will dominate.
Phoenix are playing really good at the moment. They're on that good streak. New Zealand Cairns.
It's New Zealand.
In Auckland?
New Zealand.
In Christchurch.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully the lights stay on and the storm is fine. New Zealand.
New Zealand. One of the worst road trips in the league.
Yeah, Cairns to Christchurch. Good luck. getting
they
to
probably
there.
Isn't it a rich flight, dude? Anyway, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'll go New Zealand. I think they'll come back and get a win there.
Oh, actually, wait, let me think about it. Cairns have two bigs. Oh, I don't know. I'll go New Zealand.
Illawarra, Sydney. In Illawarra on the Friday night.
Sydney by 20.
Gee.
Sydney.
Yeah, I think Sydney. Yeah.
Tassie, party game.
Tassie, Brisbane. In Launceston.
I'm going to go Brisbane
different
again.
Different places this year. What did you say?
I'm going to go Brisbane again. I think they can beat Tassie two times in a row.
Can they do it on a Saturday night in Launceston?
They're going to come off against...
Can they do it on a cold, rainy Tuesday night in Stoke?
That was a reference.
Tassie.
I'm going to say Tassie. All eyes for me will be on this game. Perth and Adelaide on a Saturday night in Perth.
So that's the 8 o'clock game, isn't it? I'll go Adelaide. Just annoy Jackson.
Yeah, I want to annoy Jackson again for the 20th time. So I'm going to go Adelaide.
I'm giving up. I've saved this one Alex Saab meme for me to post when Perth win. And I haven't been able to post it yet. I've been so annoyed for the past 2 weeks.
Phoenix Cairns on the Sunday. I'm going to say
Sunday game.
Phoenix because Cairns will have to travel. Cairns will have to travel from Cairns to Christchurch to Melbourne. I'm going to go Phoenix.
I'm going to go with Phoenix. Your theory. If Pat Miller and Taron Armstrong play, time pays win.
Sydney, New Zealand in Sydney.
Sydney.
I'm going to go New Zealand.
You just think New Zealand's going to come back this weekend? I'm going to go to Sydney. God, I'm looking forward to this game. Melbourne United and Perth on the Monday night. I'm ready to see a real shellacking.
Are you both going to be in the building? That's my question.
100%. I will be dressed up courtside in a suit to watch the Perth Wildcats downfall. Sorry,
I really want Perth to win that game. Perth to win.
You've got to wear a suit now.
Been a real Perth hater today. I apologize. It's just the fans that had a go at me when my predictions, when I had them six, and they're way down there now. And now they're crying for help. And it's everyone had a go at me.
Everyone's just speaking how the Perth fans actually feel, but they're not displaying it.
Giving that hatred back. I hate to do it, but...
Are you actually going to wear a suit? Like, if you do, we'll give you one. We will post it all over Twitter and make sure you have a suit on.
I'll post that image of us when we were doing the Gazies last year if Perth win, okay?
No.
If Perth win, I'm posting that.
Give me the... NBL should give me the Reebok. The Reebok VIP. Celebrity. All the influencer. The F-list celebrities. I'm pretty much on par with them. I mean, so
you're not
so get
on
me
par
there in
with
a suit.
Josh Garlop and co, okay?
Or Gallivre Less or James and Rachel.
I'm having a D at the NBL and I shouldn't. But anyway.
But the people that get in Sydney, I have no clue who they are.
I don't. Anything else to add?
I think we've got one more week, then we've got the FIBA window?
For what though? What is the FIBA window for?
We don't have games for 9 days, and it's not like the Boomers, Tall Blacks, or Bright Stars are playing. So what's the point?
The Bright Stars. Yeah. God, that's the names.
There's no like Asia Cup qualifiers even, so I don't know what it is. But anyway.
Look, as this guy that works at Game Rest, I'm kind of glad I've got a circuit breaker now, but I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time when Perth are 2-7.